But as we look at Christmas, we're really looking at the opposite, because we know that there are things that keep us from the true meaning of Christmas. And we know that in our life, there are Christmas ghosts that haunt us, that instead of trying to bring us to what God would want us to have at Christmas time, the life and that joy and perspective of what Christmas is about, we know that there are things in our life that block what God has for us. And because of that, we don't experience Christmas in the way that we really should, not just at Christmas time, but throughout the year. That Christmas gift is not present. Now, last week, we looked at ghosts of Christmas past, and we looked at the ghosts that come and haunt us because of the things in our past. And many times, whether it's at Christmas time or throughout the year, even as we try and serve God, it's the things in our past that constantly hang over us, that weigh heavy on us, that becomes something that keeps us from really experiencing all that God wants to birth within us. And we looked at the two main things in our past are shame and hurt. There are things that we have done that we regret. There are things that we can't take back, and because of that, there is shame, there is guilt, and that is something that many times we just can never let go. And then there's things in our past that maybe we didn't do anything, but people have hurt us, and there are scars. And sometimes, no matter how hard, we have just not been able to let go of those scars, and they have kept us from entering in to the Christmas experience that God has for us. But we saw that not only are there those ghosts, but there is the message that God has sent us. There were three messengers from God that gave us the message of Christmas that breaks the haunting of those ghosts. And we know that we are going to look at the three messages that the angels brought. Not the Christmas ghosts, but the angels brought us a different story. Even though we are haunted by our own Christmas ghosts, there is a message that God wants you to hear from the very angels that came at Christmas time, that even though they spoke to the people at that time, it applies to us. And we saw that the angels brought a message of hope to us at Christmas time, that no matter what shame we are dealing with, the angels brought this message that there is born to us a Savior. That the whole point of Christmas is that Jesus was born to wipe away the shame of your past. That you don't have to carry that anymore. That you can understand that Jesus was born to bear all of your burdens. In fact, we know that we look at the prophecies in Isaiah that Jesus at Christmas became the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And when we begin to embrace Christmas, we can find a freedom in a washing from that shame. But we also saw that Christmas begins to give us a hope from the hurt. That Jesus came to bring a freedom from what others have done to us. Because in that bearing of our burdens, Jesus took on himself all the hurt of the world. And we can find that freedom. So today, we are going to look at the next ghost of Christmas, which you probably can already surmise. We looked at the ghosts of Christmas past. But today we're going to look at the ghosts of Christmas present. There are things that many times it's not the past that haunts us, but many times it's the present that haunts us. There are things right now that are keeping us from truly entering in to the message of Christmas. And we're going to look at two things that happen in our life that are going on right now that maybe we don't even realize it. We don't even realize that these ghosts are keeping us from really experiencing the spirit that God wants you to have. And those two ghosts are labels and distractions. Labels and distractions are in our life today. Let's look at the first one, labels. What do I mean by labels? Do you know that we live our everyday life, and many times we don't even realize it, based on the labels that are put on us? And because of that, there is a daily expectation and behavior that we live because of that. Now, those labels can be put on it from other people. Maybe it has to do with our past, but even today, people label us in different ways. This world is all about comparison. You know, we're too fat, we're too skinny, we're too smart, we're too dumb, we're too rich, we're too poor. We label ourselves, I'm good at this, I'm bad at this. And so labels affect us. But it's not only what other people label us as, and probably more effective is we label ourselves. And we begin to look in the mirror and we see ourselves in a certain way. And because of those perceptions of ourselves, we put ourselves in a bottle. We put ourselves in these boxes that we seem to not be able to break out of. And because of that, we feel like we're going through life kind of handcuffed. We feel like we can never really be ourselves. And we many times don't even know who am I? Who is myself? And this begins to be something that keeps us from experiencing God. Because until we can break free of just the freedom that we were created to be, we are always less than. Because you know what? You're more than what you're labeled. You're more than what you see. You're more than what you compare yourself to other people. Many times we see ourselves in the label of failure. We see ourselves in the label of demands that I have to do. Okay, I'm the person that has to do this and this and this. And so we put expectations on ourselves that just stress us out. We wear ourselves out because we have labeled ourselves and we think that we need to meet these expectations. And we don't realize that even in our Christian life, you know what? We are putting labels on ourselves that God never puts. And many times we serve God in such a way that he never expects us to serve and to meet those expectations. This is why Jesus came to give us grace. He said, it is not of anything that you have done. You need to understand that this salvation, this redemption is from God and God alone. And you can release those labels. The second thing we talk about that I think haunts us is distractions. There are distractions in our life, and oh man, especially in today's world. How many know that we are constantly bombarded by busyness, by things, and we are going here and there, and even if it's not doing things, our mind is so caught up in the stimulation. There's media and phones and all the stuff going on. It is amazing. They have done studies about how overstimulated our brains are today. And there are so many effects of that because of the overstimulation that we are putting in our own life. It is deteriorating our health. We have never been more unhealthy than in this day and age where we have more knowledge about medical procedures and things, and yet we are constantly, you know, dealing with these issues. And it's not necessarily physical, but it's caused by the constant weight of distractions. Now, the distractions come in many forms. It can be busyness. We just pile stuff on. And many times, this is the key, we try and blame other things. Well, it's because I have, but yet, as much as we try and blame other things that have made us this way, we have no one to blame but ourselves. We choose to put these things on our plate. Now, I know we tell ourselves, well, if I don't put it on my plate, there's going to be this and this consequence. I want to tell you that there are some other consequences that are better than that if we would choose to simplify. Yes, you're going to lose out on some stuff, and you're going to go through those consequences of transitioning to that lifestyle, but God would want to bring us back to a place where we begin to limit the distractions. You will actually find yourself happier, more free, and able to enter into that Christmas spirit that is meant to be a lifelong thing, not just a seasonal thing that God wants. Many times the distractions are things in our life that we hold on to, and it may be things that are sin, or it may not be a sin, but there are behaviors, there are habits that are hurting ourselves, that we need to let go of, that just begin to burden us down. And it's the things that the Bible speaks about in Hebrews, in chapter 12, where it says, you know what, therefore, let go of the things that so easily ensnare us and the sin which weigh you down, and let us run the race. So there are burdens and sin that we just hold on to. And I know it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to cut that sin that's in our life because it has a hold on us. But it's such a distraction that many times, because of the sin in our life, we can never give ourselves freely to what God wants. Or because we know that sin is there, we feel ashamed. Again, we come back to that, the ghost of shame, and we don't want to reveal that, and so we're constantly in a battle of trying to hide part of our life while we still try and receive all that God has for us. And we live this dual life. We live this Jekyll and Hyde, and that becomes tiring, and it becomes something that blocks us. We can never fully receive all that God has for us. And so these are the ghosts of Christmas present. These are the things that haunt us, and they're with us every day. And we begin to live with them, and yet they are keeping us from what Christmas wants to free us for. The problem is, what do these things, if we continue to allow these things to haunt us, we need to understand that they produce things in our life. When we live with labels, when we live with distractions without dealing with them, this is what's going to happen. It produces within us many of these attitudes and behaviors that we don't even realize where they came from. First of all, there's a lot of self-deprecation. We're constantly putting ourselves down. We never see ourselves as good enough. The more distracted we are and the more label we put on ourselves, I'm going to tell you, we never will find the joy of acceptance to understand that we were created by God and loved by Him. Instead, we put ourselves down. We're never happy. And we constantly self-deprecate ourselves. There's a low self-image, or there's a loathing of ourself. And even people that don't have, you know, we think sometimes, well, that's just a personality. They're just negative people. There are positive people. We don't even realize it. But that self-deprecation is showing up in other ways. It shows up in drivenness. Workaholics, you know why they're workaholics? Because they're trying to make up for something. They don't realize it. It's not that they're choosing to do that. But they see themselves in such a way that I've got to make up for this label that I'm not good enough unless I succeed. And that is self-deprecation. That is not finding just the joy of who I am for who I am, for who God made me to be. Anxiety, fear, this comes from the distractions and the labels. We're always afraid I'm not going to match up. I'm not going to be good as Billy or Susie over here that we compare ourselves to. And so we're always under this anxiety of having to meet the standards that I've set for myself. And so therefore we are a nation of anxious people and stressed out people and fearful people. And many times this drive for pleasure, and the reason we don't serve God with an absolute abandon is because we're afraid of what I'm going to miss out. I'm afraid of letting go because, well, then I won't get what I want. And so we're so anxious about getting what I want or controlling what I want that it begins to be an overriding focus that takes the priority away from God. And so we live in anxiety and fear. Criticalness. When we live in labels and distractions, we become people that we're always judging. We always have a judgment on someone else. Nothing is ever neutral. We can never just be happy for someone else. I'm going to rejoice in your blessing. No, it has to be, well, I'm not going to rejoice in you because I wasn't blessed. Well, why should I rejoice in your blessing when I'm not blessed? Everything has to be even, and everything's not. You see, God has called us to, and yet we live in this criticalness. Well, unless it's fair, I'm not going to be happy for you. You do realize that that is an anti-God attitude. God looks at it this way. I will die for you to be happy. You see, it's just the opposite. I will sacrifice everything because I'll rejoice in you receiving my grace, even though it costs me everything. And yet we become critical. And that is because we live with these labels that we put on ourselves and the distractions that we're so worried about doing these other things. And the last thing is discontentment. We're never happy. You see, if we continue to see ourselves through labels, if we continue to distract ourselves and we just feel like, and this is the biggest thing in our society, heaven forbid I get bored. Well, if I don't do all this, I'll be bored. You have missed life. And if you are bored, and we're going to talk about that, God has an answer for that. And yet, heaven forbid that we give up the things that we do. We get so discontent. We're so dissatisfied with our life. There's so people that are so unhappy that if they don't have this, then what's it worth it? You know, why? If I can't even do that, well, life is not. Life is more than that. Since when did we get this idea that life is only good if we have everything that we want? Life is only good if things go our way. You're missing the whole purpose of what God created you to be. And that all comes because of these labels that we put on ourselves and the distractions that we allow in our life. So, how do we deal with these ghosts that are haunting us? And hopefully you see all of us in there. Everything I've described, to some extent, all of us are dealing with these ghosts of Christmas present. And our Christmas is affected. Wow. That ghost is trying to stop us here. How many know that our Christmas is never as good as we wanted it to be? You know, you have these visions of what Christmas is going to be this year, and it's good, but you look back at it, well, it just wasn't quite what I wanted it to be. Because to some extent, we allowed these things to come in and haunt us. Well, God has an answer, and we're going to look back at the Christmas story, because these three announcements, just like there's three Christmas ghosts, there were three announcements of the angels that God sends that directly give us hope to defeat the ghosts that haunt us. So let's start again with the first message that God gives us at Christmas time that I hope we can look into it and see what God has for us. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. This is what God says to us. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So that's the first message that the angel came. And we're going to break that down. There's going to be a common element in all three of these. So then the second one comes to Joseph. And we have the story in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and not willing to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets. That the prophets spoke, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife. The third, as we move along in the story, and we know what happened, they came to Bethlehem at just the right time. And in Luke chapter 2, we see the third angel. It says that, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for him in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels went away into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And so we see that in these three appearances, the angels come to destroy the ghosts of Christmas present. How did they do it? If you look at each one of these announcements, the first thing that they did is that the angels came to Mary, came to Joseph, came to the shepherds, and they acknowledged them by the name that God gave them. If we are going to do away with labels, with these things that we see ourselves, you need to understand that Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who names you. You've got to stop naming yourself. You've got to stop letting other people name you. You've got to understand that God is the one who names you. He created you, and he sees you better than you see yourself. When he came to Mary, the angel said, Mary, favored one of God. And she said, what are you talking about? First of all, I'm no one. I'm a small girl in a small village, in a small nation that is controlled by Rome, that is nothing. And the angel said, no, you are favored by God. You see, God looks at you and he says, you are favored. You are special. You are unique. I have a purpose for you that you and you alone are made for. When he came to Joseph, what did he say? He said, Joseph. He didn't say, Joseph, carpenter, working class person in a small city. He said, Joseph, son of David. In other words, even though Joseph knew he was in the lineage of David, there was no king anymore. David had long since been gone, and yet the angel said, you are king. I see you as the person that God is going to use to bring back his kingdom. You know what? When God sees you, he sees you as someone that is special, and you are royal. You are in the family of God. You are like Joseph, son of David. When he came to the shepherds, who are the shepherds? The shepherds are the people that in that society were really not too important. They were looked down and they would not be welcomed into a feast. They're the smelly people that you stay out in the fields. You just take care of the sheep. And yet, the angel came to him and said, I have a message that is given to you. It doesn't say that it's given to the kings and the rulers. It says, unto you is born a Savior. Not unto the rich, not unto those that are sleeping in the palaces, but unto you. You need to understand that everything that God has done, he's not done just for those that earn it, not just for those that deserve it, but unto you, because you are special. We need to begin to know that God names you. You need to open up. Who is God telling you that you are? This Christmas, you need to stop looking in the mirror and start looking to our Father. And let him begin to speak into your heart and say, you know what? I have a name for you. You are loved. You are special. You are valuable. You are worthy of Christmas. You see, that's what Christmas is about, that you are named by God. Are you letting God name you this year, from this point on? But the second thing that we see, not only does God name them, and the angels came and always encouraged them. You know what? That you are more than what you see. Mary, you're more. Joseph, you're more. Shepherds, you're more than what you think you are. But then he calls them. You notice what the message of the angels were? That you have a purpose. Not only do I name you, but I call you. We need to understand that you are more than your own busyness. You're more than what you keep thinking your life is. Your life is what I've got to come. It's my work. I got to do this. It is the things that I do with others. It's my family. I am this and I am that. And I get so distracted. But God says, no, I've got a better purpose for you. You need to stop spinning your wheels doing all the things that you want to do. I've got a purpose for you. I want to call you to live for me. And that might mean putting away some of your other things that you do in life. And you need to come back to what God has called you. The angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you're not going to live a normal life anymore. You're going to raise the Son of God. You're going to become a mother, not just of your own family, not just of what you want, but I've called you to a new purpose. You're going to raise Jesus. Joseph, I've called you to do not what you want to do, because in your mind, you needed to put her away. You need to not deal with the shame. But I've called you to be someone who bears the burden of shame. Even if people look at you, you're going to raise my son, Jesus. Even though you're not the father, I've called you to a purpose. And it said that Joseph got up, and what did he took Mary as his wife. He picked up his purpose that God had called him to be a father to a son that was not his. Called him to be a protector of a woman who was weak and belittled by others, and to be that person that stood up for him. He came to the shepherds. He said, shepherds, I've got something bigger than watching your sheep. You need to go into Bethlehem, and you're going to become the first announcers of Christmas. It says that the shepherds took on this job, that they began to be the people that went throughout Israel and told of everything that they saw. They became the heralds of Christmas. See, the angels, we say, hark the herald angels sing, but they only sang once. The shepherds became the real heralds that went out into the world telling everyone what they experienced. You see, I want to tell you today, Christmas is not just about celebrating the birth of Jesus. Many times, we take on the meaning of Christmas and Jesus, and that's great for us, but you know what? The one thing that we don't do, We never hear the story of Christmas that you're called. You are called to do more than just celebrate, but to get up and begin to live a new life. Christmas means you have a new purpose. Your purpose is not just to go to work anymore. Your purpose is not just to do school anymore. Your purpose is not just to fulfill all the pleasures and the experiences that you have. Your real purpose in life, which is bigger than all those things, is to live for God and to proclaim Christmas to this world, that Jesus is born. Maybe it's something that he wants to birth in you like Mary. He wants to bring new life in you, that out of you, you can speak life into other people in this world. We need to begin to hear the calling. What does God call from you? Have you been so busy that you're doing your own purpose rather than God's purpose? At Christmas time, you see, this defeats the distractions. The best way to defeat distractions is to say, I'm going to be called by God. See, you're not going to be bored. You don't have to worry about being bored when you live for God, because God will give you something to do. God will fill that time. Even if it's just spending time with him. Maybe there's a purpose of letting go of all the activities in your life because you just need to spend time with him. Maybe it's not that God wants you to do something. Maybe God wants you to sit with him more. But we never have time because we have chosen to fill our life. Well, what will my husband think? What will my wife think? What will my kids think? Well, maybe we could teach them something that's more important than all these other things. Maybe we all need to be called to a new purpose. And that is radical. And I understand there's going to be pushback if you ever did fully take that challenge. Because everyone that fully answers the call of God faces pushback, faces criticism, faces ridicule. But if you look at all the stories in the Bible, they experience God more than anyone else. No matter what happens in your life, we've got to be willing. And I know that's a big choice to make. But at Christmas time, the only way to defeat the ghost of Christmas present is to let God name us and to let God call us. So the question is, will you take his name this Christmas? Will you stop telling yourself and telling others who you are? Will you stop living in that pool of how you see yourself? And begin to say, even though I feel that way. Now, I understand the emotions are there. I'm not telling you to change your emotions. I'm telling you to make a choice despite your emotions. That even though I feel this way, I choose to be who God calls me to be. And not only am I going to let God name me and I'm going to take his name, but I'm going to answer his call. Will you answer his call? Will you stop living for yourself and begin to say, God, what do you want me to do? Will you be like Mary? What was Mary's response? I'm your servant. Tell me what to do. Even though I don't understand, even though this is scary, let me do it. Joseph, what did he say? It says he got up and he took Mary. He answered the call. The shepherds, what did they do? They looked at each other and said, you know what? Let's not just sit here. Let's go. This Christmas, I think God is waiting for you to respond. Will you answer his call in life and begin to move in to what he has for you? Because as you do those things is the only way that we're going to defeat the ghosts of Christmas present and enjoy what God has for us this year and throughout the year. Let's bow our hearts. God, speak to us today. And God, I know that these ghosts are strong in our life. And we don't even maybe want to admit that they're there, but yet they control us, God. They control our attitudes. They have controlled our emotions. They have controlled our choices. And God, Christmas has come to free us from that. And many times, God, it's hard to respond because that freedom actually feels like more pain to make that choice. But God, if we will step across that hard boundary, we enter into the joy of Christmas, the peace of Christmas. God, I pray that you would transform us today. Do the work. Many of us, we need a touch of the Spirit to defeat these ghosts. God, I know that maybe we're embarrassed to admit that in front of others, but God, we need you to touch us because we are dealing with all of these effects that we've talked about, and only you can free us from this. God, let us right now just begin to open up to your Spirit, and I pray that you would just do a work in our spirits and our souls this morning and give us courage. Yes, God, we need courage because it takes courage to make a radical change in our life, because Christmas was about a radical change. God, Christmas took these people and it disrupted their life. God, it brought pain, it brought ridicule, it brought, uncomfortableness. But God, because they were willing to enter that, they received salvation, redemption, joy, peace, freedom. Let us be willing to have the courage to do what they did, to answer the message of the angels. And I just pray for each one here, God, that your love would just penetrate their heart to let them know that this message of Christmas is for them, that you have named them. You have a better life for them than what they have been stuck in. You have shattered the box around them. Let them step out of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand up. And before we begin to worship, we're going to celebrate. And I'm gonna